Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We have just started DU Real with Jackie and Amanda. We are a couple minutes late because I just had to be a referee for the two cats that I'm cat sitting slash house sitting for. And of course they pick like 3 minutes before I have to go live to be like, yeah, this is a great time to start a war. And so, you know, thankfully they didn't actually attack each other because I was like standing in the middle of them. Like, come on, guys, like this is the time. Like you couldn't have fought at any, not that I want them to fight at any other time, but I'm like, damn it. Damn you. So thank you so much for your patience, Jackie. I am just as surprised, and thank you for as well for being patient.
Yeah, no problem. I figured something happened. So we're all good and we're live and we're doing the thing. So really no harm, no foul. Hope the cats are okay. That's always funny when they just decide, yeah, I hate you now. Yeah, I always grew up with cats in the house, so that was a fun thing to witness. Just the relationship between two cats. Cat sitting is fun though. Mm-hmm. And is it the same people you cat sit for before?
Yeah.
Okay, I recognize the fireplace.
That's right. Thank you. Welcome everyone to our afternoon fireplace hangout session. My fireplace is your fireplace, you know, and so I had to turn it on, even though it's a beautiful day, so I'm only going to have it on for the aesthetic, but then we're going to turn it on afterwards. But yeah, cats are okay. They didn't actually touch each other. They're in a stalemate, but they were in a stalemate right at the front door. And so I couldn't leave them at the stalemate with the door open so that they could have left without having anybody to like kind of supervise them a little bit. I always like to welcome them back into the home after they go out for their little walks. So because I was going to be busy, I'm like, you know, now's not the time for a walk. You know, you guys have to come in. And it was only one of the cats, Abby, outside. And then Pumpkin decides to like block the entrance for Abby to come back into the house. And I'm just like, this is not the time to evict your fellow cat sister. You know, Jesus, Pumpkin, when did you become the hall monitor of the house? You know, and now you're like, no, you can't come back in. And I didn't even notice Pumpkin, but Abby hissed. And I'm like, what are you hissing at? And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, doors open, two cats, front doorway. And I'm like, oh. We're not comfortable for me to pick you up yet. You know, like we're still getting to know each other ourselves. And I did try and I got hissed at and I was like, see, I knew we were not there yet. And so, you know, like I can't pick them up and I can't like boot them into the house and I can't boot them out of the house, you know, or one. And, you know, so it's just like, not how I
chaos.
Right. Oh my God. I do love them. I love all the distractions. They're always reminding me to take a break and they, you know, they are so much fun to hang out with. I love cats, you know, and I definitely look forward to having one of my own when I have some space.
Yeah, same. I would, oh my gosh, like I want a cat so badly, but my roommates already have two cats. So like we can't introduce another one because they will be at war and I don't really want to deal with that. Also, yeah, my room is a shoebox, so, like, there would be no way to isolate them from each other. Anywho, yeah, what's up, you guys? Welcome to the live. I just got back from a walk, and I was just – I have been loving just going out for an aimless stroll. Like, I just leave my house, have my headphones on, I'm listening to whatever I'm listening to. Today, I actually listened to – our latest episode, Amanda, that came out episode 20. It was a really good one. I think it was one that we recorded after we had a live, but yeah, we were really spitting. And like a lot of those insights were re-hitting again. We were just talking about like being okay with disappointment or accepting the fact that your life doesn't and isn't ever going to look like the version of your life that you want in your head, and just learning to appreciate what it does turn out to be, even if it's not what you wanted or expected. And that was really resonating with me because I don't know, I've had the tendency to get really down on myself, and it's been kind of strong recently, and I haven't been appreciating just like the little things as much as I have in the past. So I don't know. I've been getting that back though. In the last couple days, I've been getting outside and just like looking at flowers and feeling the sun on my skin and like having a conversation with a friend even, or just like all the simple things in my day that maybe I've taken for granted a little bit. And that's just given me so much energy. Like this morning I woke up and I was like, ugh, I don't want to do anything. And then I was like, okay, just go outside for a second and breathe some fresh air and just walk aimlessly. And somehow that always reminds me of what really matters. So sometimes you just have to do the little things that make you happy, even if you don't necessarily want to at the time. Or not even happy, just like that remind you of reality and like bring you down to earth a little bit. For me, that walking is always so good. And it's so fun just seeing what other people are doing. And just like, I love looking at houses too, and like how people choose to decorate their front yard. And like some people have like little figurines or like certain floral arrangements where I'm like, wow, this is beautiful work. Like, compliments to the gardener, whatever it is. And I just like going around and witnessing all of that. And it was really hitting me like, yeah, this is all me. Like, all of the beauty in the reality that I'm experiencing is, it's all me. Like, it's my mental projection of what is out here. And I think that's something I take for granted too, is that the reality that I love so much is me. Like, there's no separation. And it's so beautiful to just sink into that. So we're feeling good today.
I love that. I resonate with that, you know, just appreciating life, enjoying life instead of driving it. You know, in developing this like tunnel vision that it needs to be, you know, that you need to get somewhere, you need to do something. It's just enjoying, you know, what's left, and what's left is your life. And, you know, I definitely, I was watching one of the episodes from Andrew and Ray, and it was the episode, one of the most recent episodes that they put out, and I forget the name, the number, but it was, it's called It's All on the Table. And I love that, you know, because everything is all on the table, including all of your insecurities and all of those expectations of where your life needs to be. Hello, Pumpkin. I see the fight has completed. Pumpkin has left the battlefield and is now just moseying about in what seems to be her territory for the moment before they switch, and then Abby's here.
Love you, Pumpkin.
Pumpkin loves the fireplace, so she's, every time I put it on, she's just like, oh, well, okay, I guess the fighting can wait. The fireplace has just been turned on post-war. See?
Oh my goodness, she decided to put on a show for us.
That's right. That's
hello. Right. Looking directly at the camera. Hello.
Is she going to post up?
This is the best content we've ever had.
I believe so.
It's so cute.
I love it. I love it.
Yes, Pumpkin. Thank you.
Right. It was like, this is the first time she's done this, you know.
Yeah. We're cool. Drop a pumpkin emoji in the comments.
Pumpkin mania. I love it. But that's why I was like, I love, you know, cats can definitely pick up on the way that you're feeling too, right? So, you know, I'm sure that my feelings about their timing of their little fight about to be fight. I'm sure they felt that. So I'm more relaxed. It seems like the whole house is relaxing. But we were thinking about intrusive thoughts, right? In this tunnel vision where you're thinking life has to go somewhere, and all of those intrusive thoughts, and Andrew and Ray were talking about this, and they made such an excellent point about how the intrusive thoughts are only really showing you what you're invested in. And they feel intrusive because you don't want to admit that you're invested in what often is a superficial thought or a superficial investment, right? And then the thoughts echo that investment, but we don't want to admit that the echoing intrusive thoughts are tied to our superficial investments. And so that's why we say like, oh, the thoughts are intrusive. It's like, no, the thoughts are reflective. The thoughts are echoing what you're invested in. And there is no scenario where you can get rid of the echoing thoughts without first getting rid of the investment that brought those thoughts around to begin with. And I was like, oh my goodness, like that, you know, and I've heard, you know, similar things and we've discussed this numerous times, but it absolutely hits where you're just like, oh my goodness, I am invested. And no wonder my thoughts reflect what I'm invested in. And I don't like that because, you know, the thoughts are only, you know, letting me know that I'm holding on, that I'm clenching. And I don't want to admit that. I want to pretend that, you know, I am always so deep and thoughtful and considerate. And I don't invest in superficial things, not me, you know. But it's like one of the examples that they gave was your appearance. And, you know, another example is your ability to speak. You know, another one is the way that people perceive you, you know, and all those things are very superficial because how someone perceives you isn't all that you are. So even if you like the perception that they give, that they reflect back to you, you know, that doesn't mean that that's all you are. You know, you're this great speaker or you're this beautiful person or you're this, you know, enlightened individual. It's like none of that actually is all of you, you know, it's much more honest to just say that, you know what, I am invested in how I appear to others and I am invested in superficial things. And that's why, you know, my thoughts reflect those superficial interests, investments. And I don't want to admit that because I don't want to admit that I'm superficial, but I am. And I still struggle with all of those examples I mentioned, you know, my physical appearance, the way that I speak, how articulate I sound, how enlightened or relaxed I appear, you know, the way that people perceive me. I want them to perceive me in a way that is flattering, but that's a superficial want and that's a superficial investment. And my thoughts reflect back to me and I don't have to be upset when that thought echoes back what I've already been invested in. You know, and so it's just an unpleasant reminder because it's messing with this fantasy version of myself that I am always somehow striving to be, at least for a lot of times, you know, I'm striving to be that, even though I recognize that doesn't stop me from striving for that end place when I'm not paying attention, especially.
Yeah, that really hits. It's all just a reflection of you and what you think you are and who you think you should be. And yeah, what you are holding on to, what you're attaching your identity and your value to. That's definitely something I very, very much still deal with. Like, we are never gonna say or claim to like have transcended my ego or I'm completely unattached. Like, yeah, I'm practicing non-attachment, right? Like, I'm not trying to tighten my grip on things. I'm trying to loosen my grip, but I'm still gripping. It's kind of just habitual to do that. I've been gripping for a long time. And it's okay to recognize that. And just because I can't let go immediately, like, right, like I can in a moment, right, like where I have a thought or an insecurity about how I'm being perceived, let's say, or like if somebody finds me attractive or interesting, like I experience that immediate thought and the feeling of like insecurity, discomfort because of it. And then I'm kind of able to see it for what it is. And so just that little gap of like being able to see it for what it is allows you to let it go. And it's just a continual process of doing that over and over and over and over and over again that eventually you stop like holding on to things as much or you're able to let things go. And that's definitely been the case. Like, even though I haven't been able to let go of everything immediately, I'm a lot more comfortable with myself and being perceived in whatever kind of way than I used to be. And so that in itself is worthwhile. Like, we're never going to get to a point where it's completely gone. But being able to see that, yeah, that's where that is tied from. Like, it's tied to something else. It's tied to an insecurity. It's tied to maybe something painful that happened in your past, or, you know, the idea of yourself. I forgot where I was going with that. That's so funny when that happens. It's just like fucking gone. But yeah, like, you're still going to do it. And you can use it as an opportunity to look at what you're still holding on to, rather than an opportunity to beat yourself up for not being over it yet. Because I will do that. Oh, yes. I will be like, oh, fuck, this again? I thought we were over that. And that's just creating more pressure, more expectation. And that's attaching to the idea of yourself as being somebody who's, like, figured it out or has gotten over their shit. That's egotistical as fuck. So, like, there's no rush on any of this. There's no control in this process. And it's worth it just to, you know, be able to give yourself a little bit of grace. Like, that space is enough to find more peace in your everyday.
Absolutely. You're right. Because it's so easy to want to beat yourself up, because that just reinforces that attachment. Because you're still technically holding on to, you're judging the holding on, and that's just another way of holding on. Oh my goodness. And that's what I mean. That's because I laugh, because I'm just like, that is so like me. Like, oh, you know, it's not that I want to admit why I'm holding on to it. I want to judge that I'm holding, and I don't want to actually look at why I'm holding, you know, and all of those investments are, you know, usually driven by this attempt for control. And those echoing thoughts that, you know, reflect back on what you're invested in are usually just letting you know, if you don't control this one thing, if you don't control how you speak and how articulate you are, then you're not going to have control over the perception of how people see you as a speaker. And so your all these investments are just attempts at controlling something. And if you don't have that control, it's utter, you know, it's like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. Your life is over. The world is ending. If I can't control my appearance, if I can't control how I appear to others, if I can't control how articulate I am in a conversation, written, spoken, or any of the, you know, or any of that. So it's just, but it's just me trying to control my life, because I don't want to be left with just the life as it is. It's like, no, it needs to be going in a certain direction. I need to become something, because then, and once I become that, then I don't have to deal with that uncertainty. But that's just another, such an old story that I've been telling myself. And it's what's reflected back to me with the people that are in my immediate environment. You know, I'm seeing what they're invested in and how they will die on a hill, that invested hill. And I see that reflected in so many ways that I almost feel strange when I'm not invested. I'm like, there's space, and I don't like it. where's my cozy prison cell that I've labeled articulate thoughts, articulate speaking? You know, I like that prison. It's cozy. I know what the four walls look like, the ceiling, the floor. You know, I've got a layout, I've got it designed, you know, it's all mine, you know. But that's just my attempt at trying to control and trying to deal, or is trying to cope with the uncertainty that is a part of being life, you know. And so that definitely, I've been reflecting on that a lot today, and just being just neutral for the most part. It feels like I'm just being neutral about those investments. And so when I was thinking about getting ready for the live, I was like, all right, well, we definitely still have an investment, or not definitely, but I still feel an attachment to how I speak, to how I look, to how I'm being perceived by others. And so I have a notebook with notes, you know, and And I definitely thought about changing out of my very casual shirt. And I definitely thought about, you know, putting on makeup and doing all these things. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't actually have to do anything about those investments, you know? And so I don't have to look at the notebook. I can take down more notes. I can not use any of the notes I pre-wrote. You know, I can put on makeup, and this time I didn't. I can change a shirt, this time I didn't. And it's just because I wanted to kind of prove to myself that, like, I don't actually have to do anything about those investments. And my world doesn't end because I'm not actively working in a certain direction. And I feel super uncomfortable, but I'm happy to share that because I feel alive. And it's crazy. I feel alive in the discomfort more so than when I change the shirt, put on the makeup, use all my notes, have my script. And I feel emptier when I do it that way. And in this way, this option, I feel uncomfortable, but I feel alive. And I guess I didn't realize how often, I just didn't notice that I felt empty and so detached and scripted. And how almost disappointing that is, but it's not in the same breath, because I appreciate being here. I appreciate sharing this discomfort and just showing myself more than anyone that, like, I'm okay. I can still feel the attack into the investments. I still feel those echoing thoughts to those investments, and I'm okay if I do nothing about them. And it's kind of, the volume is getting lower on those quote unquote intrusive thoughts. They're not disappearing, but the volume is certainly a little lower. And I'm very curious about just exploring that a little more.
I love that, Amanda. And that's something that's definitely really relatable. Just the feeling of, like, having those old thoughts come up, the old ideas about how your life should go, how you should look, how you should act, and consciously choosing not to feed them. I love that. Like, that's been, like, that is the practice. Like, that's all we're ever doing, right? And it's okay if you do feed them sometimes. It's not like you need to be perfect about it and starve those insecurities until they're all gone and you're a pure, enlightened, all-powerful being. You're one step closer to enlightenment, Amanda. Congratulations. No, I think the beauty of that is just recognizing I'm already enough. Whether I believe it or not, I am. And yeah, I love that you just showed up as you are and you look beautiful as ever. I never would have guessed that you were like, oh, I need to fix something about this, you know? So yeah, I'm glad that you made that choice for yourself. To be honest, I did put on a little blush and I did comb my hair and I did curl my eyelashes, but I was like, I'm not doing all that. I didn't know. I'm not putting any more effort than just that. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I literally roll out of bed and then just come on and don't even really look at myself until we start recording. So it's fun, like, having the option to dress up and, like, I don't know. It's like playing dress up at this point. When you recognize that your attachment to looking a certain way isn't, like, it's not necessary, and it's actually, you know, getting in your way, you can actually appreciate dressing up more and then also be able to feel comfortable when you're not dressed up. You can have the best of both worlds. And it doesn't mean you can never wear makeup again, as if you're, like, trying to prove something with that, right? So it's just finding a balance within yourself, and you can only find that balance when you're not attached to either end of the spectrum, because there are people that are attached to, like, being natural and, like, never wearing makeup. It's kind of like the people who are attached to being sober and, like, the ego boost that comes with that. It's like, yeah, I guess you're doing something that's health, like, you know, it looks from the outside like you're very comfortable with yourself. But also that can be another expectation that you're holding yourself to. And so it's not about, like, the things themselves, that you're attaching to or the behaviors that you're doing to feed that attachment. But it's just like recognizing the attachment. And then you're not prisoner to it as much.
Yeah, being honest with yourself. I was watching the last two episodes with Andrew and Ray where they had a guest. And the first one was Felicia for the win. And the second one was Stephanie. And I forget her last name, but both of them were brilliant women. And they were so funny. And they both brought up the saying, you know, do what I say, not what I do. And how often you hear that from like people in authority figures, people in leadership roles, your parents, you know, like all of that. And how often we just don't do that because you're like, why am I going to do what you say when what you're saying is that I should be considerate and I should remember that I'm not the only individual that is in the room, metaphorically. And how self-awareness is key towards, you know, just connecting and great leadership and great cooperation at work and in general. And I love that because it was like, okay, I've heard that, you know, do what I say, not what I do, because what people tend to do is selfish and they don't think about, you know, anyone else. It's just their investments. That's all they're thinking about. And they're not seeing the price, the high price of those investments and how it's not just them paying that price. It's everyone that they interact with. And how sometimes, you know, someone will say that you should be more compassionate. And really, a lot of times when I hear that, it's they're saying that I should give them a pass for them not being compassionate. And I'm like, you know, sometimes not being pleasant is the best thing that I can do, or just being myself, regardless of how someone else is going to react to that. You know, if me being myself is going to bother someone, then that is a great opportunity for me to see an older mindset that I used to embody can still embody. And they have an opportunity to see a different mindset that maybe they're not currently embodying themselves. And so just being yourself, just showing up for your life and it's showing up for all of it, the unpleasant and unpleasant parts. It's like, it's amazing. And that's where you can feel alive. Is in that discomfort, is in that uncertainty. And anytime you have like a rigid structure or you're doing exactly what people say, or you're doing what people are doing, it's like without any considerations for how those two things are intersected or interconnected, it's very numbing, very empty. And that opportunity, that option is always on the table. So I'm really glad that we just can show up however we choose, and talk about the times where we invest, the times where we let go of those investments. I definitely braided my hair before I got on this call because I was like, my hair's looking a little too shabby. And I absolutely judged myself, and I didn't put on makeup, but I definitely changed my hair because that was something that I was still invested in and didn't want to let go of that investment. So it's just amazing how many different times that you are dealing with what you're invested in, and it's not an all or nothing flipping a switch. I think it's just like you had said, you acknowledge it and you're honest that it's there. And you're like, you see that pile of shit? I made that. Just put my little placard right next to it. Made by Amanda. You
know? You're like posing with like your pile of shit.
You see this? This is all me. All me.
All me, baby. The biggest shit you ever seen.
It's definitely, you know, it's definitely fresh made shit. You know, I definitely, that, you know, it's certainly, we have a commitment to quality, all of us. We're always making fresh piles of shit. And then we don't want to admit that the room is stinky. And I'm like, you know, I don't think that I think we should reassess that assessment. I think we should re-examine that assessment that the room is not stinky and that there's no pile of shit with that you made, you know, and just being honest about it. And then you can turn, you know, possibly that shit into manure and grow something out of it. But you can't, you know, you can't use the shit as manure if you don't acknowledge that the shit exists to begin with.
Whew. Yeah, that reminded me of the saying, like, or like, I'm just thinking of the Outkast song Roses, where he's like, I know you like to think your shit don't stink. That's what that reminded me of. Yeah, everyone's shit stinks, but if you're not attached to like thinking of yourself as this like pure being and like a good person, or like, I don't know, you can, like, it doesn't mean anything about you. It doesn't. Everybody shits. And there are parts of everybody that are unpleasant or, you know, a little rough around the edges. Everybody. Like, nobody is exempt. Nobody's shit smells like roses. Okay? And I think it doesn't make sense my whole life why I wanted to be like some sort of perfect being, as if that was even possible. It's like I just was so comfortable with judging myself that I like set the bar impossibly high so that I could keep judging myself, because at least that's comfortable, right? Like it's comfortable to just assume that I'm doing something wrong just in case I am, right? Like at least I'm already judging myself before other people are judging me, and that's like a safe zone. But yeah, fuck that comfortable prison of my own self-judgment. It really has done me no good at all, and I've realized how egotistical that is, and so just self-involved to think you're always doing something wrong. People are judging you. People aren't fucking thinking about you most of the time. Like, when I zoom out even just a tiny bit, I'm like, okay, yeah. None of these little petty things that I attach to or like worry about in my day-to-day life, even just like ordering at a coffee shop and thinking that I was awkward. Like, there's no guarantee that anybody thought that. There's no way to determine whether that's the truth. And there's no like guaranteeing what that outcome of any situation would be. So like, why the judgment? It's really like, I laugh at myself when I zoom out even just the tiniest bit and I realize, okay, yeah, you're the only one torturing yourself with this. And all of that is coming from me just trying to cling on to some sort of control. And it just doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. And so, yeah, when I realize myself doing that, I laugh at myself and then move on. But it's still very much there. Holy fuck. I judge the living crap out of myself. Like, if there was like a split between like the version of me that I am and like the inner voice in my head, like I would beat that bitch's ass. Like, she cannot be talking to me that way. All types of crazy.
That's right. That's absolutely right. But I think that we, at least I'm going to guess for the way that I experience it, judging me as being better or worse than you confirms that there's a me and confirms that there's a you, at least from my perspective, right? Because the minute or the moment that I truly feel like there is no separation between, you know, the observer and the observed, the you and the me, that seems to be so clearly distinct from each other, you know, when I'm not feeling that line in the sands, it's very hard for me to judge me as better or worse, because I don't see this. I don't always feel that separation so distinctly, so heavily. But when I am feeling very separate, it's very easy to judge. I almost want to judge that separation, because that's another way for me to just confirm that there is a separation. And it's just the perception of that. There's only the perception of that separation, because I feel deeply connected at times to everyone and everything around me. I feel connected to, like, sometimes the buildings that I'm in, to the trees that I hug. You know, I feel so connected, and if I feel very tied to everything around me, at least sometimes. And when I'm in that feeling, the idea of judging myself expressed as everything, including what seems to be the I, it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't have the same thrill, almost. Like, it's not as shiny. Like, self-judgment isn't as shiny when there isn't that very prominent self that I have, that I want to define.
Yeah, it's like, who are we even talking about when we're judging ourselves? Oh my goodness. And it's so possible that, like, even though we were like, yeah, this is my shit, I own it, how do we know that's really your, like, what do you mean by yours? It's not yours in the separate sense, and it's yours in the shared sense, because there is no actual division. So we're all, like, dealing with the same sort of internal battle, internal, like, processing, and it's not separate from each other. And so when you realize that, and you realize, oh, I'm not the only person judging the fuck out of myself, I'm not the only person who feels the weight of the world on their shoulders, figuratively, you can just have a level of acceptance of it, and of whatever point in your processing that you're at. Whether you've realized something and you haven't been able to change it yet or let go of it yet, or if you fully let go and moved on, like, either way, there's no difference in your value because of that. And it doesn't mean anything about how you're doing in life or anything. Because you're, like, even though you do have the experience of being an individual, you're not just that. And so you can't just focus on your little piece of the puzzle and think you have everything figured out. Because you don't. Like, you're just part of a much larger process. And, like, you wouldn't look at the universe as a whole and the way that things are changing and being like, oh, it's not happening fast enough. 'Cause there is no timeline with how things are supposed to change. And there is no way that they're supposed to change. It's just, like, how it's happening. Everything is unfolding in an intelligent way. And it doesn't – just because you – don't understand what's happening doesn't mean it's not intelligent, and doesn't mean, like, you're doomed if you don't have any, if you can't control it, because you've never been able to control it. You've just thought you did, and that's never ever been the case. So the judgment and the attempts to, like, figure out where you're at in the process or what you're going through, they're all kind of not a waste of energy, but, like, kind of. Like, you could, like, it's kind of pointless. You're not going anywhere because of it. So would you rather do that and ignore, like, the richness of your immediate experience and putting the ability to accept yourself and enjoy your life behind, like, a wall of expectation? You can just have it now. Like, right now, you can sink in, you can, I don't know, smell the flowers, feel the sun on your skin, or not. Whatever it is you have going on, like, there's something to be appreciated, there's something to be learned, and the deeper that you sink in, like, the more aligned with the natural processing of things that you are. And it's funny that it's a lot more efficient and effortless than it ever was to try and force yourself to be something or do things in a certain way, like in pursuit of a specific outcome. That was the word I was looking for. Pursuit. There's nowhere to go. Nowhere. It's always just going to be you and this moment. So that can be enough. In fact, it can. And not that it should, but it is more enjoyable in my experience.
Oh, absolutely. When you were speaking, I was a few things were coming to mind about, you know, the experience of being like open or closed to life. And how I used to say it exactly like that. And now when that phrase came to mind, it was like open or closed to being life, you know, and being able to just appreciate being here, right? Because since there's nowhere to go to, right? Because if we're getting somewhere, we're getting somewhere that's quote unquote better than here. But the option has always been to enjoy where you are, regardless of what you think about the current considerations, the current state of the moment that you're in, you can enjoy that at any time. And it doesn't matter if you, let's say, don't like your job, you don't like the relationship that you're in, if it's romantic, you don't like the friends maybe that you have, you don't like the relationship you have with your family, you don't like the car you're driving or the weight that you're at on the scale or whatever it may be. Like in this moment, with all your complaints, you can enjoy just being here. And I think I love thinking about just those few words, like enjoy being here. I'm not saying that like enjoy being here, like you're enjoying the moment that you are in, enjoy being here, enjoy being the moment, you know, enjoy being, and I heard, you know what's so funny is that I've heard that so many times and it never clicked in the way that it's clicking right now, like enjoy being here, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna enjoy the whatever moment, I'm just like, no motherfucker, enjoy being the moment. But I love that because when you don't have a reason to do something and you don't have a destination, it really doesn't matter what the circumstances are for the most part. Like I know that there are extreme examples, right? And in those instances, it's very hard to enjoy being, you know, an involuntary sex worker, right? It's very hard, you know, if you got put onto the street, it's very hard to enjoy being that moment, right? But that's very, very extreme for the most part, because a lot of us we're not in situations where we're forcibly in that situation or held in that situation because of external factors, you know, and sometimes internal factors add to that. But for everybody who's not in a job that you're forced to work and you're not in a relationship that you're forced to be in, you can enjoy all of that regardless of how you feel. Because if you're not enjoying the moment that you're in, that's letting you know that you're still invested in something that's not there. You're invested, and that's a huge part of why you're not enjoying wherever you are. So if you're not, so that's going to be like my new almost consideration that I'd like to phrase it in that way. You know, if I'm not liking the moment that I'm in, what am I invested in that's not here? Because regardless if I like it or don't like it, I can still enjoy it. You know, I'm working a shitty job, but you know what? You know, I enjoy that I applied for this job. I chose this job. And at any point, I can quit that job. So, you know, if we chose it, if we're working it, if we haven't quit yet, then let's make the most of it. You know, I'm washing dishes. Fuck it. I don't care, which I have done. And I miss talking to people, you know, because you can tell I can't shut the fuck up, you know, most of the time. But what I loved about the dishwasher job was that it gave me a lot of time to just spend with myself. And I could sing, and I was singing and washing dishes and using the machine and doing things like that. And I so enjoyed just that time. And then eventually that time flew and we were working in the front of the house, or we sometimes have quit jobs and started another one. But it's like, regardless of the situation you're in, you can always enjoy being there because you are always being here, whatever that looks like. So It's a good opportunity to look at. If you don't like it, what are you invested in?
Yeah, and I love what you said. Enjoy being here. Like, not the emphasis on here, because that's gonna change. I mean, we're always here, but it's always gonna look different. But yeah, enjoy being. And I love when I feel that in my body. It's when I'm relaxed. It literally just feels blissful. And like my heart will skip a beat. Like I'll take a deep breath and be like, holy fuck, existence is bliss. It can feel like that. And that doesn't mean necessarily that you never experience pain or hardship, but that like you embrace all of it. And when you do that, you can relax enough to just enjoy being in and of itself. And I remember like hearing like in the yoga philosophy that I have studied, the ultimate goal, I guess, of yoga traditionally is to be free of mental fluctuations and live in this space of samadhi, or like eternal just bliss of being. And I was like, well, that seems kind of like, it's kind of like the idea of heaven and like escaping out of this human realm and being in this place where you're happy and content and free all the time. And I was like, that seems like attaching to an outcome. But I'm kind of starting to see what they were getting at by that. Like, it's not bliss like euphoria, like you're on drugs or some shit. It's not that type of bliss where it's like waves of pleasure, you know, washing over you. It's just like a quiet acceptance and ease within yourself, no matter what the situation. And that in and of itself is enough. And it makes all the difference. And it's really like just beautiful to feel that and just feel connected with everything. And yeah, I'm really excited for our retreat coming up as well, because that's how I felt at the last one. Just blissed out as fuck on my experience and just feeling so good in my body and in myself, just because it became glaringly obvious, you know, with the conversations we were having, you know, the substances being ingested, the space from my life and my problems, that like all the narratives, all the judgments, all the expectations didn't matter. Weren't actually real. And I was already enough as I was. And yeah, if you can come to California, I believe we still have a couple tickets left. April 11th through the 15th in Big Bear in California. That lodge looks fucking sick. It's going to be amazing. The weather in California right now is gorgeous. So if you can swing it, we love to see you and love for you to experience just this vibe of everyone accepting the fact that, you know, I'm just me and we're all just reality, and maybe the division that we take seriously a lot of the time isn't really true. And it gets really fucking trippy, to be honest. But very, very grounding. And it's always a good reset, because it's like, okay, oh yeah, all that, those stories I was caught up in when I was at home, I see them for what they are now. And no judgment, but like I can make a different choice now.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, the retreats, you know, you make space from your own investments. And it's not guaranteed, right? So that it is an open invitation to the retreats, and a hopefully helpful reminder that the retreats are not a silver bullet. This podcast is not a silver bullet. It's not like we are not here to make you feel better. You know, and I think that is so honest, an honest reflection of reality. Like, reality doesn't give a fuck about how you feel. You have your preferences. Reality doesn't give a fuck. Reality unfolds however it unfolds, regardless of your opinion, regardless of how you feel, regardless of your expectations, your needs, your investments, doesn't give a fuck. So when you come to these retreats, when you're chatting with people in the Discord, or you're chatting with people on one of the Patreon calls or any of that, like, it's not a place to feel better. It is a space where you can be honest about some of the experiences that you have been through, are in, are learning from, some of the investments that you held on to, are still holding on to. It's space for you to be yourself, for you to be life. You know, it's certainly not a place that is designed or intended to be a kumbaya, feel better kind of experience. You know, it's space for some self-honesty, you know, about the investments that you have held on to and are still holding on to. So I definitely recommend joining the retreat, and especially want to make sure that, you know, the consideration is made that you're not looking for anyone to help you, to teach you, to make you feel better. But in the same breath, it's not a place that has zero considerations. It's not a place that it's like, well, tough shit, deal with it. It's definitely not that. It's just not intended to make you feel better. So if you feel better, it's usually because you've let go of making yourself feel like shit. And that's all you. So just remember that your experience is yours. You are your experience. So just keep that in mind, because it's very easy to want to listen to someone. We're pretty much trained to listen to authority figures, to want to find someone who knows the way, who's figured it out. It's like, we don't have a way. We are just exploring. We're showing up. That's literally all we're doing. We're showing up because we just want to show up. That's our choice. And that's what we did. But we didn't show up for a reason, for a goal, or to get something. And so that's the only thing that I want to circle it back to, because it's so easy to think, you know, I have found my tribe. I have found my community. I have found myself. And it's like, hold up, because that sounds like a lot of attachment. That sounds like a lot of investment. So, you know, keep that in mind, because certainly reality will remind you that your preferences are not the priority. And the retreats are just another place where you can see that if you're open to it.
Yeah, definitely. We don't have any sort of answer. We can't fix anything for you. It's really all we're offering with the retreat is space for you to, you know, let go of the ideas that you've been holding on to, accept yourself with whatever you're going through. But and it's nice to be around other people that are doing that, you know. So that's one of the biggest pulls to the retreat for me personally, is like, if you're looking for that space to practice being yourself authentically and to take responsibility for your shit, but not judge yourself for it, this is the space for you. But if you come in thinking that, you know, somebody's gonna give you a silver bullet, or you're gonna have a specific kind of experience, or, you know, attaching to like feeling positive for the whole retreat, like you're probably gonna be in for a rude awakening, because like nobody here is gonna make you feel better per se. Like, they might help you gain some clarity just by like the way that they reflect your shit back to you in conversation. Like, you might get some clarity that way, but really anything that you get out of the retreat is your own. So it's up to you what kind of experience that you want to have. And yeah, there's no right or wrong way for that to go necessarily, but it might not feel the most pleasant. Like, I've had, like, at the retreat, definitely a lot of tough emotions came up for me, but allowing them to just work through, I felt a little bit lighter at the end. But that wouldn't have happened if I was judging the fact that I was going through that. And also, we just want to make sure that everyone is being respectful of everybody else's experience and clinging on to them and following them around and wanting the answers or attention, or, you know, maybe you're interested in somebody in like a romantic sense, and you're looking for some sort of validation or connection. this is not the place for that. Everybody is going there and looking for space. And so that's the environment that we're going to try and cultivate. So if you're acting a fool, you will get called out. we are okay with being brutally honest. So,
yeah. Which happens in reality all the time. You know, you're being a dick. Sometimes people call you that. Like, but it's, I definitely want to specify too that, you know, being rude doesn't make you a rude person. Being insecure doesn't make you an insecure person. Being needy doesn't make you a needy person, right? It's just, you know, we can embody different feelings. We can embody different mindsets. And so, you know, when you are being very inconsiderate, reality often will burst that bubble of, that could never be me. I'm not that kind of person. And can just let you know, like, no, you were absolutely being a straight up asshole, or you were being super needy, or you were being super desperate, right? And so reality often shows us, reflects back to us all those investments, all those attachments. So it's just being able to, you know, be honest with yourself. You know, what are you showing up for? How are you showing up to every moment? Not just retreats, not just calls. It's just how you show up, why you show up, are just things to consider. And it's not always pleasant. It's not always flattering. But who is it not flattering? This ideal version of you that you will never be? Of course not. It can't, you know, you can't flatter, you know, a conceptual self. You know, you're much more than that. And so just being honest about that just allows you to be space for something else. To be space for nothing in particular. And then you'd be delightfully surprised what might, you know, what might bloom, what might blossom in that moment. Because that's really you blossoming. That's really you being yourself. And I think when we say being yourself, you know, often we are meaning, you know, not needing to be anything in particular. Because, you know, you don't want to be a good person, or at least that's how I talk to myself. I don't want to be a good person. I don't want to be a nice person. But I do appreciate when I am honest. And I do appreciate when I can take responsibility for my neediness, for my attachments, and just, you know, being honest that they exist, and then looking at why it exists, because I have an investment. And the minute that I am like, oh shit, damn, I'm still invested, I thought we got rid of that. And it's like, no, it's not. It's not getting rid of anything. But just being honest that, oh shit, it looks like there is a little bit of attachment left. And then just being able to see that that doesn't have to mean anything to you. You don't have to get rid of anything. Just be honest about what happens to show up, how you show up, makes the world of a difference. And so I do appreciate that. And I just want to circle back to, like, just saying, you know, we are co-creating every space that we're in. And so, you know, oftentimes I'll hear people say like, oh, thank you so much for giving me space. And it's like, you made space for yourself the moment you decided to take up space, the moment you decided to raise your hand, the moment you bought your retreat ticket. That was you giving yourself an opportunity to do something different. That was you giving yourself an opportunity to say something, to show up differently. So as much as, you know, other quote unquote, other people are seeming to give you opportunities, like, it's not just them giving you an opportunity, it's you being a new opportunity yourself. And so, you know, I think that we can give ourselves a little bit more credit without putting ourselves on a pedestal.
Yes, that's been something I've realized recently too, is that I can, like, it's not that I have to beat myself up or like not perceive myself positively in order to be free of ego, because that's hella egotistical. Like, I can, you know, acknowledge myself for the growth that I've made and not be attached to it at the same time. But it is a delicate balance to strike, I would say. But when you were talking about like recognizing the attachments for what they are without judging them, that is what turns your shit into manure. And then immediately there's a chance, a fertile ground for something new to bloom. And that's even more possible when you don't expect it to bloom in any sort of way and you just kind of allow it to happen. And that's kind of the experience that I've had, you know, with the retreat, but it doesn't have to be the retreat. Like, it could just be any time that I really level with myself, and I face all the shit that I've been holding on to, and I look at the root, and then I'm like, oh, but it's okay. But at least I know where it's coming from now. And then all of the habitual thoughts and patterns kind of like get cleared out, maybe not immediately, but then new thoughts, new patterns that like I'm more able to choose, like in a way that is intentional, are able to come in because I'm just not holding on to the old habitual ways of being. Like that's how you use your shit kind of to your advantage, or like it doesn't have to be necessarily perceived as a bad thing, because all of your shit, all of the things you've held on to in the past, like the way that you've judged yourself and all of that, it informs your clarity. And so like you can alchemize it into something else rather than just holding on to it and beating yourself up for it. Because that just is more shit piling on top. And it's just not necessary. And there's a different option. There are different ways of being. And you can still do all the things and grow and change and evolve. And it's actually quite easier when you're not judging yourself or holding on to outcomes. Because that's never the thing. Like, all you're looking for is your own acceptance. And you can give that to yourself right now. Like, there's no external circumstances that designate you being a good person or like a worthwhile being, or like, you know what I mean? There's no, that's not objective by any means. So, there's nothing that you have to do in order to earn that. You can be okay with yourself literally right now. Enjoy being now.
Yeah, and when we relax a little bit more and we're sensitive to being the moment that we are in and are embodying, creating, maybe that prison cell can feel more like a dressing room, where you go in to change your outfits and put on your costumes and you go on to try different options. But it's not the prison cell that it once used to feel like. It's just a dressing room, you know, just for one, you know, you don't have to share the dressing room, and you can fill it with as many costumes and ideas and concepts as you'd like. You can cover the walls in different options, right? But the door is always open, and the prison cell, the door is always locked. And so the dressing room, you know, but thankfully no one's ever trying to peek into the dressing room. So that's why we can keep it open. Usually, you know, in the metaphorical dressing room is the only time that the door is always open. But I like thinking about it that way, because then I can walk in and out of that quote unquote cell that is now just a room that I can choose to go in and out of whenever I want. I don't have to be in or out of that room, of what used to feel like a prison cell. It's just a space that I can specifically use in any way that I want, and I don't have to stay there, and none of the choices I make in that room or out of that room mean anything about anyone, you know? So it's just exploring options for the sake of exploration. You know, fucking sails away. Bring up the anchor, guys. We're setting sail for the fucking seas of just unlimited options, and things feel lighter. And I love what you said about, you know, life feeling easier. And it feels lighter, it feels simpler, you know, because sometimes it can still be a simple thing, but it feels very hard, you know, because we don't want to let go of the investments. But usually, you know, life can feel a lot easier, a lot lighter when you keep the door open to possibilities. and you just walk in and out, you know, as you are interested, not out of obligation.
Beautifully said, Amanda. Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about being open or closed to life. And that's something that I read about in The Untethered Soul, actually, the Michael Singer book. And he explained it as, yeah, just being internally closed and rigid and judgmental or open. And he was, you know, arguing in favor of staying open to life at all times. And I don't know if it's possible to stay open at all times, but I know what that feels like. The difference between accepting everything and allowing however you feel or whatever you're thinking or whatever you're processing to just be. That it feels very like whole, and it's not always pleasant, but it feels like you're actually living and working through shit and allowing yourself to be authentic. But yeah, like you were saying with the dressing room thing, like it is fun to go into your ego and be closed for a second. Or it's like, I feel like there is a value to getting lost for a second, because then your clarity is all the more informed when you come out of it. And so it's not about always being open. That's another impossible goal. Just however you're be open to being closed, right? Like that, the saying, like if you're judging yourself, don't judge your judgment. It's a double bind. Like that's just the prison manifesting in another way of not allowing yourself to be in a prison. Like if you're, I'm imagining like you're in a big prison. And you're like, oh no, but I can't be in this mini prison. You don't even see the big prison around you. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So then you're just left with yourself.
Yeah. You're left with your life.
Yep. And that's enough. That's all. There's so much to appreciate. But yeah, I think that's all I got for today. What are you feeling, Amanda? I think this is a great chat.
Yeah. I think this is a great place to wrap things up. It's so interesting, like all of it, like getting lost in the shit, growing something out of the shit, you know, just all of it. It's very interesting. I love Jay put in the comments, you know, what am I supposed to do with all this extra time that I won't be spending beating up on myself, you know, just kidding. But also, you know, that's how I really be, you know, like it is. Because you're like, you know, I my jaw doesn't feel as sore anymore. And I don't have a black eye. Where'd that black eye go? You know, it's just, it's very interesting how we can spend our time, how we can show up. And no matter what we choose, there's an opportunity to learn and there's an opportunity to go in a different direction. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. There are a couple of tickets left for the California retreat, April 11th through the 15th in Big Bear Lake. That we will be able to swim in the lake. So, you know, bring your swim trunks, bring your bathing suits. We can jump in the lake. I just found out about this, like, I think today or yesterday. I think when the guys recorded their in-person live show from Ray's Place, and I think they mentioned that we can swim in the lake. So we can swim in the lake, Jackie. I'm so excited. I'm going to put the QR code. There are two tickets left, the single bed and the king bed. Who shall be the king? We know not of this. You know, long may they reign. But definitely, we're excited to connect again and join us for DU Real next Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern with the lovely Jackie and the, you know, unabashedly insane Amanda.
I am also unabashedly insane and I'm free, so fuck it. Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.